and the actions of all our lives be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. So we're now in our third week of our Fresh Start worship series, and by now our students have gone back to school and they're in their third week. It's hard to believe it, in the third week. And often we start out with great high hopes, only to have them dashed by things that get in the way. Do you remember taking a test with your when you were a child with a number 2 pencil? And you remember that moment when your lead would break? I remember the worry that you had of just simply raising your hand to ask if you could get up and sharpen your pencil? Or what if you got one of those cool mechanical pencils and it ran out of lead? Or your pen ran out of ink? As an adult, these barely seem worth mentioning. Yet at the time, it may have felt as if your whole world was about to collapse. So whether we're a situation as a child who, you know, whose grades as they go back to school have not turned out what they hoped, or they're having difficulty making new friends, or having a struggle with a new teacher, or have already become the target of a bully, or we're an adult who gets passed over for promotion or hired for a new position, or someone's caught off guard by a scary prognosis, relationship challenges, disappointments by a friend or family member, or even dealing with the real-life effects of real storms. You know, we all face disappointments and fear and rejection, and things get in the way of our plans and can crush our hopes at times. And so when the lead breaks, when the storm of disappointment hits and the fear and pain begin to set in, where do we turn? Our scripture reading from 2 Corinthians 4 says we have this treasure in clay jars, so we make clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God, does not come from us. The image of clay pots is a powerful for the people of faith throughout the centuries. Clay pots were like the Tupperware of the first century. They used them to store things, to put food in them, to carry water, you know, whatever was essential for life. And these clay pots could easily be broken. They were fragile. They could crack very easily. And Paul is saying we're like clay pots. We're easily cracked and broken by life's disappointments, trials, and tribulations. In essence, we're all kind of crackpots, right? You know, but we need to make sure, like, because we are, we don't go for that quick fix and trying to relying on ourselves or trying to pretend that nothing is wrong. Instead, we need to be seeking God, because it is God where we find this extraordinary power to carry us through life's disappointments. Even when our crackpot lives are showing things are not working out as we hoped or planned, our faith in Christ will see us through our disappointments, trials, and tribulations. Paul says that we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. This is what faith can do for us. To Christ, we are able to rise above our difficulties and disappointments. And every one of us has stuff that we are struggling with, when times when things are not working out the way we had hoped for, when we face disappointments. And this has been true since the beginning of time. The words of this letter were written to a church before the year 100. Before the year 100. Even then, the church has people that were stressed and struggling. They had famine in their land. It was not an easy time to be a Christian. There was persecution and daily struggles of life. Paul himself was no stranger to disappointment and struggle. 2 Corinthians 11, he categorizes his experiences. Listen to this. He says, overworked, scourged, in prison, and many times face to face with death. Another place he says that 5 times he received the terrible 39 lashes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. 1 stoned and 3 times shipwrecked and spent 24 hours adrift. He says, I've toiled and drudged. I've gone without sleep, been hungry and thirsty, and suffered from the cold and exposure. In the first chapter of this letter, he says, for we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. I love how Paul here, you know, someone who knew disappointment, addressed the people in Corinth who were facing their own disappointments and difficulties. You see, he offered encouragement, but he did not dismiss what they were going through. He did not make it seem like there was nothing wrong or that everything, should we just pretend that everything is rosy? Because the fact that there's times when we reach our breaking points in life. When it seems like it's too much to handle. Christians love to use the phrase, you know, God never gives you more than you can handle. Right? We love that. But often when the storms of life blow through, there's much more than people can handle in their lives. Go to the hospital and you'll find many people who are facing more than they can handle. Go to our schools and you will find children and teachers who are faced with more than they can handle. Go to our homes and workplaces and you will find people faced with more than they can handle. In Texas and Louisiana and Florida and California and Mexico right now, there are people that are facing more than they can handle. Our first responders often face more than they can handle. And often it is too much for us to handle. That is without God. Paul's metaphor reminds us that as human beings, being in these clay jars, prone to cracking and breaking, and yet we have this beautiful treasure. This beautiful treasure, a power, a confidence, a trust that gives us this extraordinary capacity to not only weather, but overcome the storms, the disappointments and afflictions and tribulations that threaten us. And it's clear that this power does not come from us, but God. Without God in Christian community, a person, you know, with God in Christian community, a person can rise above life's difficulties. For we have a God that is truly with us in the midst of storms. As evening came, the disciples and Jesus left the crowd behind and began crossing the lake. Then a great gale arose and waves beat into the boat, so the boat was already being swamped. Now, many of Jesus' disciples were experienced fishermen. And even they, with their combined skill and knowledge about storms, they sensed that something dreadful was happening in the dynamics of that storm that day that they were facing. Meanwhile, Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. Now, I imagine the disciples talking, you know, taking in all that they were experiencing facing as they faced this storm. You know, often when we face our storms, first we try to handle it on our own, right? And perhaps, you know, then maybe we turn to some other people around us. And so I can imagine the disciples, you know, working really hard to keep the boat headed in the right direction, some of them bailing and others, you know, securing stuff on the boat, working to try to keep the boat afloat. I imagine they thought it was their job to do all in their power to keep the boat under control. They had to handle it all. They let Jesus sleep a while because it was theirs to handle. And so I wonder, you know, when the waves begin to crash over the sides of our boats, do we have this habit of simply bailing harder rather than waking Jesus up? Do we try to handle it ourselves, forgetting that God is right there in the boat with us, ready to provide the strength and the assurance that we need? And then finally, when they tried everything they can, you know, I imagine them looking at the sleeping Jesus, you know, and wondering why God's Son isn't lending a hand to save them. You know? I remember, you know, when my daughter was little and she would be screaming up in the middle of the night and my husband would lie there sleeping like a baby. You know, and I'd just be like, don't you see what is going on here? How can you sleep through this? You know, and so I imagine the disciples, you know, don't you see what's going on here? You know, in the middle of a crisis, and it seemed like, you know, God is off where somewhere sleeping sometimes, taking a nap. We almost can hear him snoring. And they cry out, you know, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And their panic cries offer the stark contrast to the peaceful, sleeping Jesus that can sleep through the storm. The word they use for perishing or being destroyed, you know, is in the active voice. And so when they're using it, it's something that is occurring in the moment. You know, the dangers are real and present. We are perishing. Don't you care that we are perishing? There's some people in their lives right now in whose life a storm is raging. Perhaps you're there right now. You may feel like you are being swamped by the water and blown about by the gusts of wind. Some of you may be financial or a health issue or an area of relationships. Maybe we try to do our own thing and you still feel like you're sinking. And you want to know the same thing the disciples did that day. Jesus, don't you care if I drown? Don't you care that I'm, you know, what's happening here? Are you aware of all that I'm going through? And Jesus reacts to their panic and anger with calmness and gentleness. He didn't yell at them or get upset at them. He didn't answer them sharply as we might, you know. Of course I care. Don't you know what I've already done for you? No, instead he simply stands up and spoke to the threatening waves. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. Peace. And Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? I imagine them thinking, why are we afraid? Don't you know? Maybe it's the raging storm around us or the being swamped by the boat, or maybe it's that we feel like we're going to drown, just a little stuff like that. Do you think we have the right to be anxious right now? And I find it interesting, even those closest to Jesus, you know, apparently did not understand Jesus' power when they were in the midst of the storm. They could see Jesus and hear Jesus right there. And they were so near to him, and they couldn't see it in that moment. You know, when we're faced with the storms of disappointment and tribulations, there's times when we do not know where we are going or how to move forward, when we don't even know where to start. And there's moments we need to remember that Jesus is in the boat with us, that he is there for us, that we can turn to God for help, to the God who speaks his word of peace into the storm. To remember that as the storms blow into our lives, that Jesus is there. He doesn't leave the boat in the midst of the chaos, but he remains. We have a God who's ever present in our lives. And even when we don't realize it or accept it, God is with you. Pain, discomfort, and disappointment continue to exist, but in the midst of the challenges that we face, trusting in the one who is in the back of the boat makes all the difference. Christ can help us overcome. Christ can lead us to peace, to claim that fresh start again. And Christ is through the one who we are able to rise above those disappointments, to rise above those circumstances, also much easier if you have a hand to help you as well. Now, if you go back to verse 36, there's something that we often miss here. And it says the disciples were not the only ones in the water. But so the other boats followed. Other boats followed. So the disciples were not alone. Others were in that water with them. And what I gather from this is that no matter what the storm we're going through in our lives, there's probably someone going through that same storm. Or at least someone who has already gone through it before us. And once we have gone through those storms, you know, we can reach out to help others as well. And so who are those people you can turn to in the midst of your storm? To remember that you're not alone. And how can you support and encourage one another through the storms that they are facing? We've seen the sheer destruction and devastation from Hurricane Harvey. And there have been instance after instance that we've seen also where people have risen above the disappointments and challenges to keep hope alive and to help one another through the storm. There have been thousands of first responders that have been involved in the heroic rescue attempts. As neighbors and other people have joined first responders in getting people to safety. Here is actually, this is a jet ski that the manager of Chick-fil-A had gotten some calls from people that needed help. And so she sent her husband out with a jet ski to go and rescue people that called in to Chick-fil-A for help. We have people that formed human chains to rescue people in the storm surge. These are some pictures. Local chefs and restaurants have banded together to feed on the people that are in the shelters and that needed food during this difficult time. People have been working to rescue animals in the midst of all of this. And this is one of my favorite stories. This is Jim Meckinville. He's known as Mattress Mac, and he's become a symbol of hope in the wake of Hurricane Harvey. On Sunday, he welcomed over 400 people looking for refuge into his two gallery furniture stores in Houston. And he sent out his big trucks that they used for deliveries to go and pick people up to bring them to safety. Here's one of the pictures of one of the families that has been staying there on the mattresses there that he broke out. You know, and then we also have our United Methodist Committee on Relief. And thousands of flood buckets have already made their way to Texas and Louisiana. We already have emergency response teams that are either on the ground or on their way to there to help out with everything, several coming from Virginia. So we can rise above disappointments as we remember God's faithfulness to us in the past. In his book, The Unnecessary Pastor, Eugene Peterson writes, "My two sons are both rock climbers. I have listened to their plan their ascents up a mountain. They spend more time planning their climbs than an actual climb. And they meticulously plot out their route, and then they, as they climb, they put in what they call protection, or pitons. They're hammered into small crevices in the rock face. And with the ropes attached, they will arrest a quick fall if that happens. And rock climbers who fail to put in these protections usually have shorter careers in rock climbing. So our pitons, our protection, it comes as we remember and hold on to those times when we have experienced God's faithfulness in our lives. How has God answered your prayers in the past? Have you ever been carried through a difficult experience in the past? You know, every answered prayer, every victory, every storm that has been calmed by the presence of God is a piton in which keeps us from falling or losing hope. Every piton in our life is an example of God's faithfulness to us. And so we also realize that each experience, each victory is a piton, a stepping stone, helping us to rise above disappointment in our life and to the new possibilities that God offers. So as we look at our assignment for this week, to look at how we can rise above disappointment, to rise above it by remembering the faithfulness of God in the past, to remember those times when we had the opportunity to reach out to other people to help weather the storms with us, and to remember that we are not alone, to remember to turn to God in the midst of our storms, for God is with us. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so we now come to the table.